hope you can say that your chains are gone. What a beautiful song. What an amazing grace. An amazing, amazing grace. A grace that can be partaken in by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That precious blood shed for each and every one of you. For the whole world, God shed his blood. Jesus Christ shed his blood so that they may have eternal life. Eternal life. Don't you want that person to have eternal life? That person in your life you know is lost. As we were last week, we started a series about, are these verses on your wall? And we did Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, and that's, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we're gonna continue with that series this morning. But I'm gonna read from Deuteronomy. We're gonna be in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 if you wanna turn there. But just to kind of set things kind of in perspective here, I'm gonna read Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk around the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Those are good things. But never forget those verses on your wall should also be written on the wall of your heart. We must be able to experience God's word this morning. Experience it in a way that changes our life. We need a deep penetration of the word of God. A deep penetration of the word of God in America this morning. In this nation, in this world. We need it in our lives. We need the Word of God. We need it penetrated in our hearts. We need to experience the Word of God. See, we're going to look at another passage this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Some call this chapter the love chapter. And if you never heard that, you're going to find out why people call it that. Why they call it the love chapter. But sometimes love is the hardest thing for people to show. The hardest thing, but we're commanded to show it. Not just love, not just a love that we have made. We have thrown the word love all around, used it for so many sinful things. We're going to talk about God's love, experiencing God's love, an unconditional love, not self-seeking love. Not self-seeking, unconditional, an unrelenting love that God has for us. If I could tell you this one truth this morning, this one truth is that God loves you. Despite what you do, God loves you. He loves you in a way that's unrelenting. It keeps coming after you. It loves you so much that it wants you to be on the firm foundation in Jesus Christ. That love that was demonstrated for you. Demonstrated for you. That while you were still sinners, Christ died for you. Christ died for you. That's the type of love that God shows. Not self-seeking. A love that we often show is self-seeking. A love that requires something. Can I tell you that God doesn't show that type of love? And God doesn't command us to show that type of love. A sacrificial love. That's what he wants us to love. An unrelenting love. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 13. Here, let me tell you a story before we get started. Kind of how God sometimes puts a message from Sunday in perspective throughout the whole week. I work in heating and cooling. So I go to houses most of the time. Five houses, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Five different houses. Out of those five houses, three houses had the verse that we did last week on your wall. Three houses had, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That kind of just put it in perspective that that verse is written on people's walls. But the question that came to my mind, is that verse written on that customer's wall of his heart? Does he actually serve God? And so I'm going to ask you this morning, do you actually love God? Do you actually love the people of God? Do you love the lost? Do you love the people who don't look like you? Do you love the people who might be the complete opposite of you? Because you're called to love them. You're commanded to love. Love in God's way. Love in a non-self-seeking way. A sacrificial way. But here, starting in verse 1. If I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have the faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, if I give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Let's put this in context here. What is Paul talking about? He's talking about love. But he's also talking about the gifts he mentioned in the chapter before. Those spiritual gifts. You guys all heard about those spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives? Faith, giving, those types of gifts, prophecy. Hopefully you've heard those gifts because the Holy Spirit's given you one of them. He's given you one of them, and I hope you're using that gift. But Paul's talking about these gifts. These Corinthians believers were all about the gifts. All about that special gift that God gave them. But they didn't have love in it. And without love, it meant nothing. You could fathom all mysteries, but if you didn't love, it means nothing. You've lost it if you've lost love. You've lost it if you've lost love. See, Paul's saying that love is more important than those gifts. It's more important than those gifts. You need love in those gifts because those gifts mean nothing without it. See, without love, we have nothing. What we say and know mean nothing without God's love in it. Without God's love in it. We need to know that this morning as we keep going. That you need God's love in everything you do. Everything you do, whether eating or sleeping or going to the meal ministry, feeding people, helping at the women's life house, maybe futurely helping at the women and children, whatever God's called you to do, I pray that you have love in it. Because if we want to see progress within the church and within the community of Huntington, it's got to start with love. Not the love that we just have thrown around. The love that we've turned into lust. But God's love. Sacrificial love. Love that God has given you through His Holy Spirit. You have this love. You possess it. Now are you showing it? That's the question this morning. Are you showing that type of love? Verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. See, these verses that we're about to read, I believe, are sometimes used more by non-believers than believers. You see them at weddings. You see it all over the place, these verses that we're reading here. But yet we don't fully grasp this type of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. God is patient. God is kind. God loves. Now my question to you is your love patient and is your love kind? Is it so patient and so kind that it can be seen by others? Love should produce action. Your love should have action in it. It's easy for us to talk about love. We can scream love, but our love needs to have action within it. Love should be shown in that. See, Paul here is going to give us eight knots about love. It's kind of funny that Paul's going to use it in this way. But it's kind of funny if we look at love here. And see how often we do this same thing that we're not supposed to do when we're talking about love. Here it says, it does not envy, it does not boast, It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. God's love has never failed you. You might have thought it, but I can promise you this, that God's love has never failed you. Never, ever failed you. See, these eight knots that Paul gives here goes completely against our human nature, our human desire to love. It goes completely against us. We want to envy in our love. We want to boast about our love. We see it throughout the whole world, people boasting and proud about the love that they show. It means nothing. We're self-seeking in our love. We're easily angered in our love. We keep records of wrongs. We delight in evil with our love. Can I tell you that you can't love this way without God's Spirit? You can't love in the way that God loves us without God in it. God has to be within the love that you show. Within it, all around. Right? A deep penetration of God's love with inside your heart. So that it's so embedded in your heart that it can be shown to others. Shown in a way that changes people's lives. See, we need God's help to resist these knots. To resist it. Flee from it. Because no one is going to benefit from a love that does envy. A love that does boast, and so on and so forth. We need a love that what? Rejoices with the truth. Rejoices with the truth. Jesus always told the truth within his love. He said it to so many people. He said to the woman, no, you don't have just one husband. You have five husbands. Five. But he loved her. He loved her in a way that moved her. Moved her. To tell everybody in the village that this man told me everything I did was wrong. That what I was doing was wrong. This man is the Messiah. Jesus Christ. That type of love changes lives. If you're not experiencing that type of love, I can tell you this, that you're probably not changing lives. You're probably not changing your own life. We need God's help to love the brokenhearted, to love the addicts with whatever they're addicted to. Because God loved you so much. God loved you so much. Verse 8, love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Now if you're like me, I read that and I'm like, where am I at? Where am I at? What's all these in parts and full parts and reflections and mirrors and what is going on here? That's the first thing that jumped to my mind. What is going on here? What is Paul trying to tell the people in Corinth? What's he trying to say here? He's trying to tell them that these gifts that God gives you, those spiritual gifts that God gives you, are only temporary. That special gift you should hold dear to your heart is only temporary. I pray that you're using it. Using it in a way that glorifies God. But it's only temporary. That one day we'll know fully. We'll see Jesus face to face. We won't need the gifts in heaven. We won't need it when we live in eternity. We won't need the gift of faith or the gift of giving. We won't need it. So he's telling the Corinthians, don't put so much emphasis on the gift itself, but have love within it. But love within it. See, those gifts of the Holy are temporary, something to be used while here on earth. But love never fails. Love never fails. When we get to heaven, I can tell you this, love will be with us. Love. Why? Because love is a character trait of God. I can tell you this, that there will be nothing you can do, nothing that you can do or say that will change God's character. I thank God every day that His character never changes. His character never changes. He can provide that solid foundation for your life because what? Because His character never changes. He never changes. He's always been the same. He's never changed. So when you need love in your life, I can tell you this, go to God because His love never changes. His love never fails you. Because I can just about bet this, out there in the community of Huntington, there's people who need love. Why? Why do I know that? Because I know that I need love every day. I need love every day, and I know you need love, but not just some word of love, but the power of love that God gives. The power of love that Jesus Christ gave each and every one of you. Are you sharing that love this morning, church? See, one day we will see Jesus face to face. Amen? Amen. We'll see Jesus face to face. Then we'll know fully, just as you are known fully. Because God knows you. God knows when you need love. And God knows even to the extreme of, He knows when you're not showing it. He knows when your love is self-seeking. We're all guilty of it. He knows when your love is envious. He knows when your love is boastful. When everybody else might not know it, He knows it. As Jimmy preached on a couple weeks ago, God knows. God knows. He knows everything about you. And so that can intimidate us. Or it can just be the biggest blessing in your whole life. The biggest blessing, knowing that God knows you and knows that you need love in your life. But also knows when you're not showing it. See, verse 13. It's funny that when I was doing this message, and we're doing these verses on the wall, I realized something, that some of these verses that we're going to be reading, because we're going to go to one other spot other than this, is that all these verses I have seen on people's wall. And this verse 13 is one of them. Now these three remain. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Now Paul here is not telling you just to choose love because it's the greatest. You need each and every one of those. Each and every one of those you need. I pray that in your Christian life is centered around those three things. If you read the New Testament, you'll realize that there's more than just this one place that talks about faith, hope, and love. I thought about reading some, but there are a lot of verses that talk about and put those three things together. Faith, hope, and love. I pray this morning that you have faith. I pray this morning that you have hope, and I pray this morning that you have love. I pray that your Christian life, your Christian walk is centered around those three things. Those three things. But he says the greatest of these is love. Why would Paul say that? If all three of those things are great, and all three of those things should be centered around in your life, why is love the greatest? Because you will not have faith in heaven. You will not have hope in heaven, but you will have love. We won't have the kind of faith we have here on earth. Why? Because we'll see Jesus face to face. We won't need that assurance of going to heaven. We won't need that hope because we'll be there face to face. But we will have love because Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus Christ loves you and God loves you. And love is part of His character and love will be with us in heaven. Love. An unrelenting love. An unrelenting love that I pray that you're showing. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. This was another one that I didn't quite realize until yesterday, that this is also one that is written on people's wall. 1 John chapter 4. Really short verse, but I want you to see it this morning. I want you to see this because I pray that you use this verse. I pray you use it to love people, to have the motivation to love the people who do not look like you, who do not act like you, who are broken. Verse 19 of chapter 4. We love because he first loved us. Do you see that there this morning if you have your Bibles? We love because he first loved us. God cares so much for you. He cares so much for you because God loved us. He loves us in a way that transcends all understanding. We can't comprehend God's love for us. We just can't do it. But we don't need to comprehend it. All we need to know is that he does. That his love is who he is. God cares so much for you. He loves you so much. Jimmy says this so often. And I hope you listen to what Pastor Jimmy says here. He loves you so much, he's not willing to leave you where you're at. He loves you so much, he'll do whatever it takes to put you back to where you need to be. Whatever it takes, he loves you that much. He loves you so much, he's not willing to leave you where you're at, but wants you to be an ambassador who shows his love. You understand that this morning? You are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors called to show God's love, to show his grace, to show his mercy, and so on, because God is filled with so many things that he wants you to be an ambassador for. And that specifically, altogether, is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in the most loving way you can. And I mean so much that you know you can't, and you ask God to help you. You ask the Holy Spirit, hey, help me share the gospel with somebody. That gospel that changes people's life. I hope you love in a way that changes people's lives. Because that same love changed my life. And I pray that that same love changed yours. Changed your life, for I hope you don't think for the worst, but for the better. For the better. And we talked in men's group a couple weeks ago, and it asked some of those things that maybe you've thought you've lost when following God. I couldn't think of any because I can only think of where I was and where God has put me now. Where God has brought me out of. How much he loved me to pull me out. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to pull me out. I didn't deserve to be pulled out. I didn't deserve to be pulled out, but he loved me so much that he said, Philip, I want to take you out of this pit and I want to put you on solid ground. Whose hand did I grab? Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the only way to get put back on that ground. The only way that you can get put back to where you need to be. Whether that's salvation, it only comes by Jesus Christ. Whether that's loving people in a way that transcends understanding. Where they ask, why do you love me? I don't deserve your love. Jesus Christ helps you do that. His Holy Spirit helps you love in a way that changes people's lives. I pray that you hope to change people's lives, but not for your glory, right? Not so that you can boast because you've done the opposite then. But that all glory goes to God. All praise goes to God. That the people in the streets can lift their hands high, saying, God loves us. God loves us. What an amazing peace. We pray for revival so often in our communities, not just Huntington, but in America. or in the world. Can I tell you with what it truly starts with? Your love that God gives you. Your love. Your love that goes beyond your human nature. Can I tell you that this love takes work? This isn't something that just so easily comes. I pray that over time that it's easier to love this way, but I can tell you this, it's something that you have to ask God for every day. God, help me love others. Help me serve others. Help me love because you love me. Help me love, God. So I'm asking you this morning, are you showing this kind of love? Think deeply about it because this is so, so important. Because your life is not the only one your love affects. Your life is not the only one that it affects. Think about it. Are you showing this kind of love? Are you self-seeking in your love this morning? Are you envious in your love this morning? Do you boast about your love? Do you do everything you can to bring the glory upon yourself? Or do you love this morning in a way that brings God glory? Because He's the one that deserves the glory. Everything you do should be for the glory of God. The glory of God. Do you have a self-sacrificial love this morning? A self-sacrificial. Are you asking God to help you love people better? On a daily basis. I pray that you include that in your prayers this week. God, help me love better. Each and every one of us here this morning can love better. Love better. I would love to see the community of Huntington fill the churches of Huntington. You understand that this morning? God's purpose is that no one should perish. No one should perish. But every one of us, every single one of us, would come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Are you loving? Are you loving in a way that is patient and kind? Can I tell you something? I'm glad Paul lists that before he lists those knots, because those two things can probably be one of the hardest things. Sometimes it's easy not to be envious and stuff, but sometimes it's hard to be patient. I'm thankful that God is patient with us. I'm thankful that God's kind with us. Sometimes our love's not so kind. And a lot of times that's rooted in our impatientness. We can be easily angered, right? When our patience snaps. But this type of love is patient and this type of love is kind. This type of love rejoices in the truth. Rejoices in the truth. Are you rejoicing in the truth this morning? See, love has this amazing power. This amazing power to change lives. So all this rooted, all the things that I've said this morning, are you loving with the Holy Spirit? See, the Holy Spirit gives us things, right? Patience, love, peace, joy, kindness, gentleness, all those fruits of the Spirit. All those fruits of the Spirit. Can I tell you this? You can't say to me that you don't have patience if you have Jesus Christ. You can't say to me that you don't have kindness, because God has given you a Holy Spirit that has all those things. So the question then is, are you using the Holy Spirit to love? Because you have the power to. Don't forget the power that Jesus Christ has put within you to love that way. So as we stand this morning, I want you to take in deep, deep thought. maybe two things here. Are you loving the way that you should? Or is there someone in your life you know needs to be loved even more?